People, hello everybody, welcome to the podcast. This is your girl Chamon Addy, and I'm here with Mistress Louise Wilson, and our topic for today is recognizing your gift. Subtitle is how to walk in your gift, and the best person to discuss this topic with is no other than Mistress Louise. I'll just give her the chance to introduce herself since she's here. Okay, Mom Louise, the floor is yours.
Okay, hi everyone. I am Mistress Louise Wilson, a Liberian, obviously, from the accent. And I'm a Christian and a Baptist by denomination. A wife, as I said, mistress, and not yet with a kid. Hopefully soon.
Amen.
And a teacher of the word. Yeah, I've been teaching for 9 years in the church for Sunday school. So far, that's my experience. Yeah, as a child of God.
Thank you, Mistress Louise. Just a backstory with on Mistress Louise. I got to know Mistress Louise back then in Africa, Ghana, to be precise. And she had this awesome group called Don't Be Fake, Be Real. It's a group that bring young artists together to strengthen their Christian faith and their walk with God, and also help them to be able to be great men and women of God. And I'm so grateful I was even part of that and I got to know her. So Mom Louise, can you tell more about Don't Be Fake, Be Real, Reality Discovery? What was the dream about that idea to bring kids together?
Yeah, the name is actually Reality Discovery. It was established by my friend and sister and myself. Yeah, back in the year 2013. Yeah, it was a point in our lives where we grew up on a refugee camp in Ghana, West Africa. And, you know, into our adulthood, we were fortunate to get a scholarship to go to college. There and then we left the refugee camp. We had to go to the capital of Ghana in Accra for college. And then we were Christian by then. So we met at a church, a Baptist church. As I said earlier, I'm a Baptist. So my friend's sister by the name of Gloria, we met at a Baptist church. There we started to grow in our faith and been taught the word of God back then. Yeah, it was something so, you know, uplifting for us. It was uplifting for us being that we were taught in our Christian home the word of God. We were taught to do the right things. But then growing up in our adulthood and attaining that kind of teaching that we're given, you know, it was so inspiring. And it was so uplifting, as I said. And then our eyes, for me personally, my eyes, you know, opened by the leading of the Holy Spirit. My eyes was like, my eyes were open. And this direction came to me that, you know, there is a need that I go back to encourage my younger ones. When I say go back, that means leaving the capital and going back in the central region of Ghana, to the refugee camp in which we were before living, to go back and encourage our brothers and sisters that were still there in the things of God, encouraging them with the word of God. So we were inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To go back and then, you know, carry the word by means of evangelism.
Amen.
That's how Reality Discovery came about. Yeah.
That's very powerful. I just want to say, because through that your program, Reality Discovery, a lot of great men and women of God, I can testify some of them on Facebook and stuff like that, including myself, came out of that program or organization, youth organization, and inspire us to still walk into our faith, not to be fake, just to be real with our life and stuff like that. So going forward, like looking at what you guys started leading by the Holy Spirit, how do you feel seeing that whatever you guys decided to do has, you know, planted a root in a lot of people's life, including today, and you can see the testimony going forward? How do you feel about that?
Yes, first and foremost, yeah, I would talk about myself. For reality discovery, I have grown throughout the year, and I'm still growing throughout the year. Yeah, for the establishment of reality discovery, I am still growing, and reality discovery lives in me. You know, at a certain point of a child of God, not just, you know, not just children of God in the broad sense, but as a child of God, you know, you pray about something and then God answers in so many ways. Just to say this first, God answers in so many ways. Three different ways I will talk about. He says, what? Yes. And at times he says, wait. And again, sometimes he answers and he says, what? No. So he answers yes, he answers no, or he answers yes, or he answers, I mean, wait. So the three different answers he can give children of God. So there was a time when he said yes. We pray about reality discovery first and foremost. He said yes, and it has worked through us, and it is still working through me. Yeah. And he used us, you know, to get to younger people, and as you said, Chema,
yeah,
even through reality discovery, God used you and so many others.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a point in time when God, we pray continually, and God is saying, you wait.
Right.
Yeah, that's wait. And waiting is not a no.
Right.
Waiting is quite different from no.
Right.
Yeah. So there are times when God says yes, you have to move. And there are times when he says no. And when he says no, I don't care how you struggle.
It is a no.
But you will not be, you know, happy about what you are doing.
Right, right.
Yeah, you will not be joyful. It will be so stressful. It will be a burden when he says no and you just try to force him out of the way.
Right.
But when he says wait, it means that he's teaching you something, he's showing you something for the next level
of life.
So it's all about obedience to God's word and to his leading. So reality discovery has really worked, and it is working, and I'm so happy to see the effect of those who have been a part and are still a part of reality discovery. Yeah.
So now going to my first question to you, sometimes we don't see in ourselves what others sees in us, like you said from the beginning that the Holy Spirit led you guys back to be able to root out the gift from children or young ministers and ministers of God that was back to where you guys first started. So my question would be, can others recognize your gift before you do?
Can others recognize your gift?
Yes, before you do, like how you guys, your, like for example, basically when you guys went on a camp, right, to teach or be able to root the gift from other kids or people like myself, recognizing their gift. A lot of people was ministers and stuff, like for example, we have Josepha now is a minister and stuff like that. So through the time you guys was doing your ministry work to reality discovery, did you recognize anything for any one of your kids coming up? Did you recognize any gift in them?
Yeah, the question was, can others recognize your gift when God?
Yes.
When God what? When God called you, right?
Can others recognize your gift before you do?
Before you do?
Yes.
The answer is no. The answer is no. You know, when God asks you to do something, when God is leading you, or you've been led by the Holy Spirit, it's about to obey immediately.
Right.
And sometimes we hold back because of fear when God directs us.
Right.
When Holy Spirit instructs us to do something, we hold back. But it's not about men recognizing. I hope I'm getting what you are asking.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not about men recognizing your gift, but you being obedient to the will of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. So, within reality's discovery, there were so many gifts. Yeah.
Right.
There were so many gifts. Yeah, that were noticed. Within reality, discover so many gifts. The gift of praying, the gift of singing, the gift of leadership, the gift of, you know, giving.
Yes.
The gift of loving. Mm-hmm. So many gifts were being recognized among us. And based on those gifts, people were placed in position to lead in reality discovery.
Right.
Yeah, and we all were blessed.
Right.
In many ways, we all were blessed by one another through the word of God.
Right. So now this leads to the second question. You know, many a times we ally our circumstances, which is based, looking back at where you guys came back to the camp, looking at the circumstances and the things surrounding their life and stuff like that, poverties and stuff like that, things that would would divert them from knowing the word of God, or working in their ministry. This question will be, how can one find their gift in adversity? So how can one find their gift?
In diversity?
Yes.
How can you find your gift?
Yes, through all the circumstances that you are going through, all the poverty, things that you are finding, how can you identify? Let's just say, use the word identify those gifts.
Yeah. So as a child of God, I will, you know, talk about myself.
Right.
I know, and people have told me that I have the gift of teaching the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I devote myself into my Sunday school, in my church, wherever I found myself in a church, I devote myself to that. So how did I recognize that gift within me? From experience? Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I went to the Tessano Baptist where I met my sister friend, Gloria. Right. Yeah, and I was taught the word of God. I've been taught the word of God before even going to that church, but it was in a whole different way.
Hmm.
It was in a whole different way. My eyes were open to so many things.
Right.
That's when I could even read the Bible, read the word of God more than I even read my courses.
Right.
Then I even read my courses in college.
Right.
There was when I realized there's something different about this. So I started to delve into the word of God and I started to pray more. Started to pray more. And then I woke up before I could end my new members class, because there where I was taught. So before I could end that new members class, every member had to choose in the church where you think you love to serve.
Right.
Where you think you love to serve. So I went and prayed about it. And then the Holy Spirit was like telling me, but you already know what you really want. And I always, my Sunday school teacher was like Mr. Mom. And I always used to admire Mr. Mom's teaching, because he taught by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe,
right,
so clearly. So I went to Mr. Mom and I was like, I think I want to be a teacher. He said, you think? He said, so he asked me, you think you want to be a teacher? I'm just saying this to show that how God leads one to recognize your gift.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how do you recognize or find your gift?
Right.
It's not about, oh, I want to do this. Yeah, everyone have that passion. Yeah. Okay. But when God has gifted you in a way that you can realize and know that indeed God has given me this and he wants me to use this. This is why I'm just trying to explain my experience.
Right.
It's Louis, you can do it. Because most of the time he asks questions in the class and I'll be like, you know, so anxious to answer, and I will answer in a way like I'm even teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was so interesting, and he was like encouraging me to, you know, take that route. If I want to be a teacher, I can be an assistant to him. Assistant and assist in the teaching, and that's what I did.
Hallelujah.
And that was so passionate for me. I would be on time for Sunday school. And I was so there. I was there so much and, you know, not getting tired, not getting weary. I was just enjoying what I was doing because that was the gift of God.
Yes. Because you already recognized it. So you're just going forward.
Right. I was there so much. In a way, I was into that Bible study, teaching people the, you know, and I went through the training for author-based counseling after the new members class. Wow. And I discovered my gift of teaching. And I know I can do more. It's nothing I have done. I have not gone anywhere. But I'm just explaining this to say that through prayer and study of the word, talking to God, and He can open your eyes for you to know your gift.
Hallelujah.
And we can have more than even 1, 2, 3 gifts as a child of God.
Awesome.
We can have more than one gift.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So we have gifts in diversity, a child of God.
So now I have a question. You make mention of before doing all of this, you went for prayer to be able to recognize that gift. So I want to know, like we all want to know here, who am I in Christ, how to pray for help to recognize that gift, knowing that some people be like, oh, how can I start, what can I say, how, you know, people don't know how to go about praying or how to start. So what is encouragement that you can tell people, regardless of things going on in their life, how to pray to recognize that gift?
First of all, what is prayer? We look at what is prayer. It's just communicating with God, talking to God.
Right.
Talking to God. And prayer or communication, first and foremost, has to be two-way street.
Right.
If I'm communicating, that means I have another person at the other end. You can say communicating,
right,
and you are communicating all by yourself.
Sure.
So prayer is like a two-way street. You talk and you listen up for the next person to talk, like the way you and myself, we are communicating right now. I talk to you and then I expect feedback. You ask me question and then I answer.
Right.
Prayer is just like that. So it's prayer is like communication, for communicating not with men, but with God.
Right.
You're communicating with God in prayer. So in order to communicate with God concerning our gift, we have to pray and ask Him.
Right.
And ask Him. He has given everyone gifts, but yet some have not yet discovered their gift. Yeah, so many have not yet. And we have so many, as I said earlier, we have so many gifts God bless us with. And some are still hidden.
Right.
So the more we pray and ask God to open our eyes, through the Spirit, we come to discover those gifts. So prayer is just simply talking to God concerning what He has given you. Show me. I want to know, is it this? You know, enable me. God, just talk to Him like you're talking to your friend. Some people take prayer to be something you have to make, like, do for hours.
No.
Some people take prayer that you have to go to at a certain place in your room, in your closet, to pray, to your altar in the church to pray. But prayer can be done anywhere and at any time.
Right.
And prayer can be like in a second, in a minute, in an hour or so.
The fire is genuine from your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly so.
So
once
not
talking to God, you can talk to Him anywhere, but it should be from the heart.
Of course. So I just want to know, we would want to know on here, I know we're giving you high time today, but because since we have you on our platform, we're going to take all the knowledge that you bring on here and leave it on this platform. So our next question would be, for people like myself, I'm outgoing, but I'm only outgoing with people who I know. And I'm kind of like very shy when people don't know me, but people shock when they say, no, I don't think that's Chimon. So for somebody like me, and going through, like, not comfortable enough, not confident within their self. They are just, like, used to their circles and stuff like that. My next question would be, it said, don't be afraid to branch out. So what do you have to say to somebody who is afraid to branch out or, like, to step out and walk into their ministry? What advice you can give them to say, you know what, do not be afraid to reach out, like how you and your sister did, reaching out back to coming back to the camp to be able to minister the word of God. So what advice can you give somebody like myself and many others that is listening to say, do not be afraid and just go for it?
Fear, looking at the word fear is nothing though, but it is always there,
right?
The devil brings fear. That's what I believe.
Right.
The devil brings fear, but fear is nothing. It is nothing. It's just a little loud noise that is there. But when you approach that noise, you realize there is nothing there to fear. And if God puts something in you that He expects you to breath out, fear can have no hold.
Of course.
Yeah. Because I'm retrospecting back in the time when reality discovery came alive, back in those days, I was like pushed, like a burden was on my shoulder. I was pushed, like no fear could hold me back.
Jesus.
Like no fear could hold me back. There was nothing. Like, you know, fear. And I believe, you know what God did to Moses, and he prepared Moses,
right,
to, you know, deliver the children of Israel out of captivity from Egypt.
Yes.
And then he brought alongside Aaron, right?
Right.
He brought alongside Aaron. I think it was for a purpose.
Of course.
So what I'm trying to say is, like, God, when He ready to prepare you for a certain thing, for a ministry or a calling, He prepares you.
That's
if he will have to give you a third or fourth hand, he will do that. He will make that way, especially when he wanted, like, immediately and now. He wants it immediately and now. He will make that way. And fear, as I said earlier, fear will have no hold of you. The book of 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. He's going to discipline you. He's going to prepare you in a way.
Yes.
If it even takes for him to bring a second party, he will bring it in. I'm
of
saying
course.
It from experience.
So
there will be nothing to hold you back. And fear, even if fear is there, sometimes fear is necessary. So that we use fear. And as I said, fear is nothing. So you use that nerves. You know, you become never.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do something. It is normal.
Yes.
For example, you're going to speak to a little crowd or a little audience.
Mm-hmm.
That fear would be there.
Of course.
But that fear would not be the one to, you know, hold you back.
Hold you back, right.
But rather, I would encourage children of God to use that fear and go and speak. Once you have God with you,
everything
you can
is
do it. Yeah. Anything He says, anything He puts you to, He can take you through it.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if God has given any one of us a dream or a vision, it's all about praying, you know, seeking His face to be moved, to be pushed, to be encouraged, to breath out that vision and to go and undertake that dream, or to embark on that gift or talent. Yeah,
that's good. So now, with all that being said, which is way too powerful to say that we should not be afraid because God has not given us the spirit of fear. My next question will be, how easy it is to search for God's word for somebody who will not know how to start? How can you help them? Just somebody who right now recognizing their gift and they don't know how to start, to say, oh, how can I search for this? What is the advice you can give me or people that is listening on if you don't know how to search for God's word, how to go about it?
Yeah. Okay. Every child of God, especially those of us finding our school, find ourselves in church, the first thing that you are doing, you know, to discover or to search God's word or to, you know, realize your gifts or talent is by going to church.
Yes.
Some people can say, I don't need to go to church. I can stay in my house and then serve my God. But first and foremost, as the word says, we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren. That way the fire can start burning. And yes. I give the example of putting the firewood. Some of who have worked with firewood, made of fire, campfire, or cook with fire.
Right.
Firewood, the wood you can use to burn or cook with. Mm-hmm. Putting it together, you know, you put it together, how it become blissful.
Exactly.
It starts to burn. And then once you take out one of those trunks and put it aside, it starts to go off. It can only blaze when it's among the other firewood. You see the fire, the heat. So going to church is like the firewood together. When you join your other brothers and sisters, children of God, join your other brothers and sisters in church. That's the first place.
It helps strengthen.
Yes, that's the first place. You need to be in order for your eyes to start to open up.
Right.
And not about going to church for the sake of tradition.
Right.
Or fun and faction. Nope. But go to church, find somewhere in the church to serve. Find somewhere in the church to work. Dedicate your life. Devote your time. The next thing is to always attend Bible study. If they have Bible study in your church.
Right.
You know, take advantage of that.
Hmm.
Quiet time, not just in the church, but after service, what you have been taught, what you have been preached about.
Right.
Take time, go home and study the word on your own.
Hmm.
These are the prerequisites to discovering your gift. Understanding the word of God. Search the word for yourself. Understand God's word. Because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is there to teach us.
Of course.
So we don't need teacher.
No way.
Holy Spirit is there.
After it's already the church, there. That is his position. That home, is his job.
Right. We go home, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the word. Because you cannot give out. You say you have talent and gifts. What do you have that you want to give out? What you don't have, you cannot give out to anybody. So let the Holy Spirit teach you that you'll be filled with understanding and knowledge.
Yes.
Yes, that you can boldly go out, confidently go out to encourage a friend, to encourage, you know, someone to come into the sheepfold. Encourage someone to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior.
Personal Savior.
So we have to know the word. Like going to the church, the Bible says that was Paul. He says that we should desire the pure milk, the pure milk, and he talked about milk before he talked about chewing flesh. Then you
put
the bone and start eating the bone, so that little by little, Sunday school take advantage of it.
Right.
You know, Bible study take advantage of it. Quiet time take advantage of it. These are some of the things that we used to talk about. In reality
discovery, yes.
Take advantage of all of those things. Sometimes we overlook those things. Just a window chair, after chair, we go home. Sunday again, we go back.
No, go back.
How do you know your gift?
Yes.
It's by, you know, searching the word as though you are searching for silver and gold.
Yes. That's powerful. Like coming up in my church, our pastor in Ghana, our pastor always used to tell us that nobody will be able to teach you the word of God better than the Holy Spirit. So in order for you to be a great man and women of God in Christ and being able to walk in your your ministry and identifying your ministry, you have to take time to sit with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you what God has appointed the Holy Spirit to teach you. So I believe whatever you're saying, also like you said, going back to the church will help strengthen your walk with Christ. It's not about just going to the church is you, but going as socializing with other Christians, right. It helps you identify and it helps you know what you are here on this earth to do, and it help you be the person that you want to be and work for God. And I really believe everything you say, and that that go back to my next question. We're almost done. Let's go back to my next question. This question is: look outside yourself, the bigger picture. Like you were saying, going to the church and stuff like that. The reason I put this particular question is to be able to know. A lot of people don't identify their ministry work. They don't know how to start in ministry work. When you tell people, say ministry work, they feel it's just quote unquote just the pastor, the pastor wife, the choir ministers, things like that. But ministry surrounds so many things. Like from the beginning, you said when we talk about recognizing gifts, and you said that there were so many gifts in reality discovery that you guys see, and that was gift of love, gift of teaching, gift of thinking, and stuff like that. So now this question is: look outside yourself, the bigger picture, because some people are scared. They are scared to take the move. So what can you say about that?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, God can entrust us as children of God. He can entrust us with little things.
Yes.
Yeah. And if we are faithful in the little ones, then He gives us the bigger assignment. Yeah. So I will talk about the shepherd boy, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, shepherd boy David in the Bible. That's one of the character traits that I really love. David used to mind. He used to take care of the sheep in the field. And then he alone in the field with the sheep, whenever the bear comes, or wild animal comes to devour the sheep, he'd be brave enough to attack those wild animals just to save the sheep. Yeah. So he was there all alone in his little secret corner doing those things. But who was watching him? God was watching him. Taking care of bear and fox and those things. They know I believe those little wild animals coming to attack the sheep to go and drive them away, attack them, and even sometimes kill them.
Right.
Yes, so from those little disciplines, he was able to attack Goliath.
Yes.
God put in his heart that bravery for him to attack Goliath. If you don't know the story, I would advise that you go and read David and Goliath's story from our back days on the school time.
I know.
That interesting story where David came Goliath with
Jeff. You have to know that story.
One rock in a sling.
Right.
Yeah, he was so brave. People were like overlooking him and then, talking down on him. What a late tracker.
Exactly.
I'm saying this to tell us that the gifts or talents or ministry, again, is so broad. Anywhere you can serve. So yes. Some of us may have the big picture that we overlook the little ministry ball is placing right before our feet.
Exactly.
Then we want to jump over it and go for the bigger one. It doesn't work that way. So if the Holy Spirit is leading and He opens your eyes, you're going to see your ministry right before you.
Hallelujah.
So when you tackle that one right before you, then you're going to see the bigger picture coming. It just like you don't have to force, you don't have to stress. It flows naturally.
Yes.
You see what God's going to start bringing before you. Like, come on. Like what you are doing. Yeah. So the little ones you are hindering now.
Yes.
A little forecast, your little life,
yeah.
Who knows if you're going to be one of Liberia's, greatest counselor.
Amen. Who knows that?
Greatest teacher.
Amen.
The little ones. Yes, yeah, so I will encourage every brother and sister, you know, be listening to this podcast, encouraged to tackle, first of all, start your little prayer.
Yes.
In the house. Even washing dishes can be your ministry. Exactly. That way you can start from praying to wash your dishes that in the morning six, in the evening six, that will be your ministry there.
Exactly.
Some of us who are wives, some of us who are husbands, some of us who are planning to be mother, wife, husband, we are planning to be those things. And those are ministry all by itself.
Yes, yes,
going into marriage, raising children, those are ministry. You have to prepare yourself for that. That's the first and foremost ministry.
Of course.
Prepare yourself for it. How can your family not be happy? How can your parents not be happy? Then you want to please outside of
them. Exactly.
It's not real.
Mm-mm.
It is not real. So ministry is so broad, as you say. How can you see it? See from the little one God entrusts you, like David. From the little ones he entrusts us with, right in our church, working, serving. That's the first ministry. Then we start to go out and we start to handle bigger assignments.
Bigger assignment. Yes.
He's going to open our eyes to bigger and greater things. Bigger and greater things.
Yes.
So for me, example, right now, I think my ministry is taking care of my family.
Amen.
So family commitments.
Yes.
I cannot be uncommitted to my family, not committed
of
to my
course.
Family. And then I want to handle other things outside. So if God entrusts me with this one,
you can
I
handle
balance on it
that have for you.
Yeah.
Out there.
Prepare it. Make my husband to be happy with me. Then I know I'm ready for outsiders.
Yeah.
You know, bigger ministry, so to say.
Hallelujah. So my second to the last question would be, think about people. The reason I think about you, God first, my mom. My mom has always been my role model.
Yeah.
When it comes to walking in ministry, my mom has been a devoted woman of God, and she still is.
Yeah.
I grew up seeing has a powerful tool in the house. My mom never go a day without going to church. Even when she have it to eat or not, she's gonna go to church and pray to God. And she always teach us. She said, whatsoever you are going through, don't never forget to kneel down and pray, because the power of prayer is the key that will take you out of a lot of things that you overlook. And another person that when I was thinking, when I wrote this question down, I said, think about people you look up to. I thought of you, because coming up, apart from my mom, Uncle Brian, I had no other person to say, you know what, I look up to. Apart from me, you know, still working with like ministers, pastors, I did a lot of work for them. But to say looking up to somebody and admiring them in the work of God, to say, wow, I see myself more than that person, because I see how that person carried yourself, how the grace of God is upon their life. You can see it. And you are the only person that I thought of. And I was like, you know what? Apart from my mom, it was you, because being in reality discovery and seeing you is a total different change on my life. It's not about just going there and sitting and meeting people, but going there and seeing the work of God through the grace and you guys' life. I really been like, you know what? I can be more than Mom Louis. You know, I can do better than that. Yeah. So my question to you will be, who do you look up to in Christian work? Like in your ministry, who do you look, apart from God first, who do you look up to?
Yeah, this is a very interesting story, question for me. And it got me thinking back and thinking in front. thinking back and thinking in front. Yeah, I cannot like point a finger on a particular person, but I am the type that I don't talk a lot.
Right.
When I'm somewhere, I am very, very observant. Yeah, and that helps me in a whole huge way to always know wrong from right.
Right.
Especially from people. Yeah. When I say wrong from right, wrong and right from people, it's like looking at someone and they're doing something and I'm like, no, I can't do that. I think I better not do what the person is doing. They are doing something on the other hand. That's the person. And I'm like, wow, I think I like to do this. Yeah, I want to do what the person is doing. Yeah. So being so observant, it helped me, it has helped me a whole lot to know right from wrong.
Yes.
Yes. And even if temptation is coming in disguise, because I don't talk a lot, I'm observant. I'm not saying temptation has never gotten hold of me, but I can recognize it from a distance and put myself in check.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is important.
Yes. And I will talk about the time I was on a refugee camp. On a refugee camp, I had the opportunity to go to do some vocational skills after high school.
Hmm.
Yes, sorry, my husband was calling me.
It's
after
okay.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity, sorry about that, guys. Had the opportunity to, you know, I was cooking, so maybe that they stole me.
That is the power of a wife.
Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to go and do some vocational skills. But let me just say this quickly. Then I had to leave the camp to go to Accra. I was in a secretarial school. To go to the camp to go and to leave the camp to go to Accra to go and do my vocational skill training. And I was opportune to live with a Ghanaian lady.
Hmm.
Yeah. First and foremost, my mom, I used to look up to her. Yeah, she was the first person
right
I've ever looked up to. And I used to admire her strength as a single mom.
Exactly.
Yeah, admire her strength. And then there came a time I had to leave her to go into Accra and to attend school. I'm so sorry, my food was burning. You see, so we'll soon end this.
Mistress Lewis is all the way in Minnesota and we are doing this on a call, so bear with her.
Yeah, so I had to go to stay with her. She encouraged me to come over, said don't leave all the way for like 45 minutes every morning to come in town for school. I want you to come and stay in my daughter's room.
Hmm.
Yeah, in my house. All her children had left and went to college.
Oh.
We had a vacant room there and I went there. But I think God, he does his thing in so much or so many mysterious ways.
Yes.
So I went to this house and there where I started to admire, you know, her lifestyle with her husband.
Hmm.
And unlike my mom, I admire her strength as a single mother.
Yes.
Bring us up. But then I had to leave my mom to go and live with another mother. Yes. Who was then in a home with her entire family.
Exactly.
I mean, the father was there, the children were there.
All grown up.
And yeah, my father, I lived with my father when I was young, with my mother, my father when I was very young. But then, you know, as life went by, things happened and they went apart. But then going to this Ghanaian lady, I saw a whole picture of the family lifestyle.
Different from what you grew up with.
Right. And then I started to look up to this lady because she
wow.
was in a position to tell me the kind of a hair to use on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. But I remember one time I braided my hair and I used this very lousy gold cutter. She called me Louise. She said, your hair is so pretty. And I was like, blush.
Yeah.
Thank you, mommy. She was like, but next time try to use, you know, some
darker
other
color.
Yes. I was like, okay, mommy. But I went in my room and I thought about it. You know, as an elegant young lady coming up, you know, I didn't just say, oh, lady coming up. You have to be choosy with
yes.
the color. Yes. You have to be choosy with the kind of colors, you know,
yes.
when you're here. Fire on the mountain. I'm not saying we cannot be fashionable, right? But sometimes it cannot be too loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she just pointed that out to me and I started to admire her, the way she spoke, the way she carried herself, the way she handled her family, the way she handled her career. and wow. I admired that a whole lot. And I was like, wow, so this is what family should be.
Exactly.
And I never want to divorce ever like my parents. So it gave me a whole new picture, and I look up to her. And then I left from there and went to another church, Testament Baptist. And I met another mother. I met another mother. That was the pastor's wife, Mama Hazel.
Yes.
Yeah, Georgette Hazel. That's another person. My mom first, the next lady was the other Ghanaian lady, Mama Philomena. And then I met Mama Georgette.
Wow.
Yes. She was there to guide me.
Spiritually.
My 30 years.
Spiritually.
That's powerful.
She was there to guide me. She was there to encourage me. And I mean that at that time I was more mature and more grown up, made mistakes in life.
Of course.
Where I felt like, you know, that was all to life. But then she brought me back and said, you know what? It's not about crying. Crying is not for you. When the devil wants to make you to cry, tell him, I'm not going to shed tears.
Not over you.
Yeah, I'm not going to shed tears. I would say this. She said it just as I'm saying it. She encouraged me. Yeah, in another point of my life. So I looked up to her, you know, growing up, I looked up to her, how she carried her ministry and her encouragement and counseling to me birthed another one ministry in her Christian walk.
Yes.
A birth of ministry called Eagles. Eagles. And I admire how she came about that ministry. I was encouraged and I was led as the same way. Yeah.
That's powerful. So this last question is not like a question, but I'm just going to just say it. Reflecting on your foundation of your ministry is your family and how they play a huge role in your life. Basically, like how you were saying, from your mom first to your second mom, now to your third mom, which is the pastor wife. She was there to guide you spiritually, to bring you back into what you are really called for. It really helps. So it's basically about family, reflecting back to your family, like me reflecting back to my mom for her being a strong person in my life and always is. So it's just going back to your family and being able to identify that and say, yes, they play a huge part in my life. Finally, I want to ask you this question. I know we came to you concerning who am I in Christ, and stuff like that, and finally you are our forward in the book Who Am I in Christ. By the way, guys, I have a book, Who Am I in Christ, that is available on all platforms. I will share the link down below, but she is our forward in that book. When we came to you to write something about a book, what was your first experience, or what was your first thought?
Yeah, so write a testimony about the book.
It was a testimony. So what happened was, we had a testimony and I didn't have a forward in the book. Then when I sent the manuscript to my company, and mistakenly, they turned you from a testimony to a forward. And when I called my publisher, she's like, wow, it's powerful. It could be a forward. I'm like, okay, then it meant to be. So now you are the forward. So when we first reached out to you concerning testimony and stuff like that, what was your thought?
Yeah.
Knowing that you helped bring up a youth like this from your ministry work, reality discovery. What was your first thought?
Wow. Yeah. Looking at the person I am, I say I'm not a lady of so many words, you know. But when it comes to writing, I do write, but I don't talk a lot. So I was like, I'm not the type to testify. But the Bible says, well, we should testify. Because that's how we overcome the enemy.
Yes.
By, you know, our testimony.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So then I was encouraged and I was inspired. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit was like, this is an opportunity for you to tell your story. And you know, I'm from the background of being real.
Yes, don't be fake.
Yeah, so maybe I was so real, so they made me to be forward. Yeah. Yeah, but my story
is... It was the Holy Spirit.
You look at Louise and you never know what she has been through.
Exactly. In life.
Yeah. Sometimes you just look at her and say, oh, yes, Oh, she's so God-fearing. Yeah, she's God-fearing. Things just work out so easily.
Right.
You know, how would such a person now worship God? That depends on God, because, you know, God always answers their prayer. But for me, when you ask me a question about myself concerning how blessed I am, I am blessed. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to, like, you know, cry and say, oh, yeah, but nothing comes easily. No good thing comes easily. Yeah, I went through a whole lot as a child, as a young girl. I went through a whole lot as a child. My parents were divorced, and that had a whole lot on me.
Wow.
As an African child, sometimes we say, we the African children, they can hit us.
But not people
were happy. I saw the whole picture as young as I was. With my father having to leave. How would I be? You know, how would we manage? How would I, you know, be as a girl? He used to bother me, but he left. Things happened, and he went up with the, he and my mom went apart.
Yes.
It was so burdensome for my mom, and watching her as a single mom on a refugee camp, all of those things had a toll on my life. Wow. Yeah.
But look at you now.
My mom, worrying, seeing my mom complain, seeing my mom going through, she was there for her children.
Right.
Yes, she was there for her children from a refugee camp. You know, going into relationships, broken ones, you know, having broken hearts, all of those things as a young girl coming up.
And you pray that you never go through that.
Yeah. So I'll always be in a position not to allow any young girl under my discipleship.
Yes.
Yeah. Do my best to advise from my experience so that you cannot walk in the steps, some of those steps, that I walk in. So when the testimony came up, I said, this is an opportunity to share. This is an opportunity for me to share. My story. In a summary, right?
You know,
if I should write, I'll write a whole
you'll write a whole book.
Encyclopedia. But this is an opportunity for me, so I was really glad. Yeah, but at first, as I said, I was like, what am I going to write? I'm not the testifying type. Testify when I really need to testify.
Right.
I realized I needed to testify. So I did that. Yeah.
You see how God can work mysteriously? He told you that just put your story out there for somebody to be blessed. And I'm talking to you guys that is listening. If you want to read what she wrote, purchase the book. Then you will see what she's talking about. God can work mysteriously in a way where he wants people to be people to bless from what you went through. So he put you in that position to be able to testify to the goodness of, look at me, here I am. I have went through all the highs and downs and lows, but look at me, what God took me from. Look, all your great testimonies of meeting all these women, your mom first, these women, and whatever you went through, and coming to have a organization called Reality Discovery, helping young people. And by the way, she still have that organization, is in Liberia, and helping people to be who they are in Christ, to identify and not to be fake, because nowadays this world we have a lot of fake people. So to be real with yourself and real with the true meaning that God has called you to be speaks a lot. And I'm grateful that this is a testimony you are able to share with us. Share my book. I know you don't do that, but to the glory of God.
It's important.
We had you. So the Holy Spirit arrested you, but who am I? Who am I in Christ? And we are grateful. I am so honored. I'm so blessed to have you today.
Amen.
It's been for, I know also, I just want to tell the audience, she lost her dad. Wherever he is, we pray that he rests well. They buried him last week, Sunday. And I know wherever he is, he's resting in the heavenly places. And may God
continue to bless the children that is here, that is here on earth, to be able to elevate them, to be able to be the counselor, to be able to be their motivator in everything he does. So she's mourning her dad, and we just got her to come here and be able to speak with us, which is a blessing to have that. And we just want to extend our greetings to your husband. Indeed, you are a faithful wife. I have seen who you are. From a perspective of knowing you one-on-one, I have seen the type of woman you are, and your husband is blessed to have a great wife and a great partner. We are also honored and we are happy that you came on Who Am I in Christ, and may God richly bless you wherever your heart desire is.
Amen.
So I just want to ask you if you can close us in prayer. Oh, before you do that, can I just, to whoever that is listening right now, I just want you guys to know that our book is out and you can purchase it. It's available on Amazon, iTunes, Kindles, Barnes and Nobles. It's international book, so if you're in Africa, you can access it on African Amazon. So you just go on there and you can put in Chermoniski, and Who Am I in Christ will pop up. So it's international. It's in Germany, London, Australia, Canada. It's all over. So you have access to the book, and the link will be shown below. So thank you all. And
it's a great book. It's a great book. I read this book and I was like in tears.
Honestly,
I was like, I pray, and you know, I read this book and I was like, wow, this is reality.
Yes.
Honestly, this is reality.
Yes.
It's all about evangelism. I don't want to go into it. You'll find time.
Yes, they will. It's
a good book.
Yes.
Who am I in Christ?
Identifying your call and stuff like that. That's the main purpose, because I
living out your purpose.
So yes, the book is out, and from the horse's mouth itself, she's telling you go and purchase the book.
Yeah,
that is available all over. And I just want to bless God for you, Mom Louis, for coming on here. And the reason I call her Mom Louis, I know you guys been hearing me call her, it's just been from Africa, that's how I've been calling her, Mom Louis. She's somebody I look up to spiritually, so I always call her Mom Louis. So when you hear me say Mom Louis, just bear with me. That's the respect, okay? She's my spiritual person. So she's gonna close us in prayer, and we thank you for listening. Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, our Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
The great I am that I am. The omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God.
Yes.
We say how great you are. Father, we say thank you for being who you are.
Amen.
To us, your children. We say you are our provider, you are our way maker, you are our deliverer, you are our healer.
Yes.
You, O Father, our protector, our defender, and moreover, our father and friend. We say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We can never stop thanking you.
No way.
Lord, we say thank you for this life you have given to us.
Amen.
This life you have given in abundance.
Amen.
Father, we say thank you for salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that you sent your beloved son, your only begotten, to come, live, die. And on the third day, he resurrected.
Yes, Lord.
That we may have life and life eternal.
Abundance.
We say thank you, O God, for what you are doing in your children. Father, we say thank you that you are the God who is able, and you are raising a mighty army.
Amen.
For this end time.
Yes, Lord.
We say thank you for preparing our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
In a way, Father, that you wanted to be, to prepare us for service, for ministry.
Yes.
Prepare us, Lord. Even as we have listened, we have talked. Father, there will be others coming to listen to this podcast.
Amen.
Father, we say prepare their hearts.
Amen.
Not to just come and listen, not to just come and hear, but Father, whatsoever we discuss, whatsoever they hear, Father, Lord, that it will sink down into their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that your word by the power of your Holy Spirit will make roots in their hearts.
Amen.
That we all, they themselves, we ourselves will bear fruits continually.
Hallelujah.
Father, we pray, oh Lord, that your word will go forth.
Jesus.
And fall on fertile ground.
Amen.
Father, we say that others will hear your word and want to do your will.
Amen.
And want to pray, seek your face.
Amen.
Father, and want to discover those gifts and talents you place in us.
Yes.
That we will move as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Without fear. All about that. We will prepare ourselves. We will steady to show ourselves.
Approved. Yes.
Father, we say thank you for youth around the world.
Thank you, Lord.
For young ladies around the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for young men around the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, that we as young people, youth, will gather. Young adults, you know, young women, men will gather for your word, for the purpose of your word.
Amen.
To be hungry for your word.
Amen.
To be hungry to do those things that are right and pleasant in your sight.
Amen.
We say thank you, Almighty God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your spirit in us. Thank you for your power.
Thank you
in us to do your will and your good and perfect will alone. There are people who are hungry for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, some will say that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes, Lord.
Strengthen us with your spirit, oh God.
Strengthen us, Lord.
Strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We say thank you for wisdom.
Thank you
for knowledge.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
For understanding.
Yes, Lord.
For those, oh God, that are hungry for
wisdom. Lord.
Grant wisdom.
Amen.
For those that are hungry for knowledge, grant knowledge.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We honor you, oh God, for this podcast.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for this opportunity. There will be more opportunity, oh God, that we will be in a position to share your word.
Amen.
We thank you, our Father in heaven. Bless us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless us more that we will be a blessing to your children, to the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mom Louise. Thank you. And have a blessed and wonderful Sunday.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Yeah, it's a blessing. Amen.
Bye.